With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
So we've heard from Stephen Brown of Springbank Honey, and we were curious to understand how this all came about, the story that he's told us. And in terms of the management of AFB, how does that apply? And Dwayne Hill is the Northern Operations Manager of AFB Management Agency, a regulator by proxy. He joins us. And Dwayne, thanks for coming on the program.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
Okay, so he's pretty grumpy, and you probably know that already. It's been in the news. We've talked to him. So what is the management arrangements around AFB, American Foul Brood, and when there's any suspicion that this could be a problem? What happens? What kicks into motion?
Right. So first of all, it's worth noting that American Foul Brood, or AFB, is a disease within a beekeeping operation, and it's actually the responsibility of the beekeeper to find, notify, and destroy this disease. The management agency's position is that we're here to help, and if things get out of hand, that's when we start to step in.
Right.
So essentially here, I'll list the steps that we take when we find out some information. So when other beekeepers in the area report a non-compliance, or they report AFB-infected apiaries, surveillance inspections are undertaken. So we use AP2s, or approved person, to do these inspections. And we, myself and Marco, the operations managers, allocate those inspections to the surrounding apiaries around non-compliance or an AFB notification.
Can I just ask you one question there before we go any further? How would anyone know there might be an infection or infestation, whatever word you use? How would anyone know? Is that just based on suspicion of there being a problem, or does there have to be some hard evidence to even start the process?
So if somebody rings me and say, hey, look, the next door neighbor just burned 30 of their beehives, that might be enough for me to say, hey, that's a little bit suspect here. I'll ring the beekeeper.
Did he do that? Do we know if he did that?
No, we know where we started, but I can't tell you how we started the investigation in this.
Tell me why not? I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to understand. Why not?
Right. So I can't specify who reported anything
to us. A competitor? I guess you know where I'm going. Was it a competitor?
Well, there's 8,837 beekeepers in New Zealand. They're all technically competitors. They're all making the exact same product, and they're all selling them. So we're a staff of 56, including our AP2s. We can't be everywhere. We rely on beekeepers to protect themselves by pointing out others, if this is the case.
Right, yep.
So because of those reports, we do an inspection, and all of our actions taken from that point on are what we find at that time of inspection. So if we find no AFB, then we walk away and we say, we found no AFB, there is nothing further to go on with this. If we find high cases or high levels of AFB within an organization or within an apiary, then surveillance moves forward. We continue to look at more apiaries, more within that organization. And where we see a high enough level to have to go and maybe a lack of traceability or anything else that to do with gear and storage, then we go and do swabs on the gear and storage.
And that's what happened in his case, right?
This is what's happened. It was three-step process, and then we went and swabbed the gear that was in his storage facility.
Okay. The other two parts of the process were what again?
Right. So that we had a notification of some sort. We did a surveillance inspection. We continued with those surveillance inspections of hives in the area and of Springbank's hives until things became apparent that we needed to look further.
Okay. Now, he had a few questions about to what level of, I guess, detail you go to. He mentioned that it really needs to show that at a cellular level of the bees that there's a problem rather than just one or two spores lying around on equipment. I may or may have not got that right, but
right.
Yeah.
So when we send swab samples away, we rely also on the industry and the scientific background that we are given from the laboratory. So the laboratories have a very good understanding of how it works. They have a very good understanding of the levels of infection, and they give us a recommendation. We base their recommendation quite high. They're the scientists behind it. We look at where we've found AFB in the past, the swab numbers, the spore numbers we've found in the past, and where that's related to AFB moving forward. And we make the call based on a lot of different circumstances. It's not just, I found one spore, therefore we burn. The spore numbers we're talking were definitely above a level which we would expect to see AFB develop if those boxes were put back on hives.
Okay. I think what would be of concern to people listening to this going on and the story so far is that AFB really has appointed Springbank competitors as auditors. And I take the point that there are 8,000 beekeepers around the country, right, so, and of course, but let me just finish. Yep. That could be seen as a conflict of interest and open to abuse. That's fair enough to wonder that, isn't it?
It's fair enough to wonder that. We put out an advertisements every year asking for people to apply to be AP2s. In some cases, the closest person to there could be considered a competitor. But remember, this is all levy funded. So if we send an AP2 from Auckland, because that's as far removing as we can from saying it's a competitor, then it's going to cost the levy payer to fly that person down there and do the inspection. So we're trying to save the levy payer money.
Yeah, but when you've got geographical issues of local, in terms of location, you do have a higher level of competitiveness. You see what I'm saying? Because he's the competition just down the road rather than you're in Auckland and we're going down to Canterbury,
I accept that. But what I'm saying is we would have to bring somebody in that is not considered a competitor.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Yep.
Right. So if Springbank Honey have their hives all over the South Island, does that eliminate anyone else that we have and is an inspector in the South Island? So we have to make that call. And therefore act accordingly and in the best interest of the entire sector. Again, it goes back to levy payers. If we can't reasonably say that we need to transport this person down here to check for this, and we have totally got reason here to not have to transport someone down, then we won't do it. I mean, we have to be able to, we're answerable to all the beekeepers.
Wouldn't it be more transparent, let's say, to have a dedicated team that aren't actually in the business of beekeeping, but may have been or have extensive knowledge, who aren't or no one could point to as potentially conflicted? That seems to me to be sensible. Why isn't it done like that?
Beekeeping is not just an industry where you can pick it up tomorrow and be told what to do. So commercial beekeepers don't want to be inspected by somebody that's never opened a beehive before in their lives and looked after a beehive.
I take your point on that. Yeah. That's completely reasonable. But there are people, all sorts of professions that move out of the day-to-day activity but have the knowledge from years that they can apply to a role like this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, beekeeping, it's never going to be a quick solution, a quick fix, a quick inspection. It takes time. You need to be doing this day-to-day in order to see AFB. It's not, if you don't see it for a year, then you may miss a case of AFB at an early level. So we take people that are beekeepers, that are actively beekeeping, because on a day-to-day basis, this is what they do. And they work in a contract, under a contract. So they aren't working for us 24/7. We couldn't afford to pay somebody 24/7 because we'd have to find work for them to do when there wasn't inspections to do.
I get that. He was also not very happy with the way he'd been treated. Forget all the way the system works, but just the attitude towards him. I think he was particularly annoyed with someone from MPI. But he did seem to have the impression that he was being treated in a not so nice way. What sort of effort do you go to in terms of how you approach people in the situation? He felt like, you know, the hammer had come down on him. He watched $2 million, he says, of his gear being burnt, which, you know, that's a high value. Is there an issue there, do you think? Has he got a point from what you've heard?
So every month we put out a survey to all of our inspected beekeepers. So any beekeeper that gets inspected last month will get an email with a survey that they can fill in or not. They can give us feedback. We act on that feedback. If he felt he was hard done by and had something to show us that's the case, then we would definitely approach that with our employees or whoever he had that case against. The paperwork that we sent him or any of the email correspondence we've sent him is no different than we would send to many other beekeepers across the country if they were in the same situation. I've had that discussion with him when it happened, and I asked him for the security footage, and I haven't seen anything.
Okay. All right. And also the penalties seem to be pretty heavy. be marched off to jail. There's no compensation. Is that because you have to be kind of brutal to police this, given what could happen if this thing sort of escaped out? That's what I'm thinking. Is that the rationale?
Right, yeah. So the rationale here is two. One, we have to inform a beekeeper that gets a notice of direction what happens if they do not comply. So that is at the bottom of every notice to direction. And I guarantee there's probably many beekeepers that receive it and don't read that part of the paperwork because they just go and do what they've been directed to do.
Right.
It's also, if AFB was allowed to continue on and those boxes were allowed to go back on hives, it would cost him more in hive loss and maybe potentially his neighbours in hive loss than the fines that would be imposed. The fines are very minimal, and the prison sentence that's outlined is quite minimal as well.
Fancy saying, I'm in jail to the mongrel mob member next to you. I'm in jail. because of Honey. Anyway, look, Dwayne Hill, Northern Operations Manager, AFB Management Agency, thanks for coming on and explaining that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.